Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen! This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio! You better all listen!
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction, hosted by J. Cat Morris, you are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the bulldozer, Max Fremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio, Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus. God and baby, Jesus help us.
All right, ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio hosted by Jay and Eric. Eric is the quiet one who I thought was off the phone for a long time, and but then he popped back in like he was the Andy Sumner, the hot tag, and he popped in with amazing force and jackhammered the fuck out of me with his three questions. So tune in next time, because fucking yeah, Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah! You're coming. That comes on Thursday night at Mount Rockwell. Shut up.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
This is Eddie Kingston, last of a dying breed. I've been learning all the nicknames as well. But the bottom line is, you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, where my man keeps it thorough. You heard me? Keep it locked in.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what
it is.
What's
going on with you? This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, you're probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it. Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Bullshit, man.
Motherfucker! Yakuza! Well, it's May 3rd, 2012, Thursday. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J. Cat Morris, as always. And I got a pretty interesting show for everybody. I got a lot of shit to talk about. I had all sorts of names, starting with Extreme. This is Extreme Rules, Extreme Union, Extremely Fucking Bad Headache the other day. You know, all sorts of different things. I'm going to go over that. Raw. There's a few different things. I gotta fix the DVR or some shit, because I'm not taping the SmackDown on Tuesday, so I'm not getting to that shit till like Friday or Saturday or some shit like that. So I only got like last week's SmackDown to touch on and shit like that. But a bunch of other little random news things and stuff like that. Probably going to get into the Extreme Rules. That's the WWE one that was good. I'll get into that first, I think. First, I want to mention a couple things. Ordered my new shirts today. So, should have new shirts coming within the next 2 weeks. Went with Yolanda again. She did a great job on the first ones. I'm loving this next design. A little bit different what I'm going to do with these. I took a beating on the last ones, and I actually planned on doing so. So it wasn't like I'm, you know, upset or disgruntled or anything like that. But I just can't do that fully this time. So what I'm doing is I'm going to charge like $10 a piece for the shirts. And that's pretty much just to cover shipping. You know, I'll hit a couple people off with, you know, comps or whatever like that. But I just got to at least try to come somewhere near what I put out on these ones, just because, like I said, I really like the design. I printed out a little bit more of them, printed out white ones, printed out black ones, a couple special sizes for certain people, stuff like that. I did what I could. And I think everybody should be pretty happy with them. I'm happy with the design. So shout out Eric Riles. He helped me tremendously with the design. I was a huge pain in the ass, as I tend to be. But anyway, I think the finished product will definitely it'll come across and it'll look like the effort was put in. So, yeah, big shout out to him and Yolanda doing the shirts and everything else. So, that's that. Let me just get right into the fucking Extreme Rules. The show started out with Kane versus Randy Orton, which normally, I mean, if there was a fast-forward button on a live stream, I would be all over it. But surprisingly, this was a really good brawl. I'd say it was probably the best Kane match in 10 years. And, Orton was really working hard and shit like that. And I was really surprised with how good this brawl was. I really did not expect anything whatsoever out of that. Yeah, Orton wins. Not like a huge surprise or anything like that, but that was that. Funkasaurus came out. Man, I hate that fucking midget. I don't know why we can't load him in a cannon and shoot him at something stupid. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even get it. Why? Like, they were doing a good thing, I thought. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, the comedy duo of, like, the Santino and Brodus, I thought they did a great comedy gimmick together, and that shit was working out great. All of a sudden, they said, Santino, you go away. You go over there somewhere, and we're just going to go ahead and put Brodus with a torn swoggle. That shit is sickening. Everything else about what Brodus is doing, well, shy of a few things that I'm going to mention later when we get to Raw, but, yeah, I think he's doing a good job for the most part. Yeah, Brodus went up against Dolph, and Brodus actually won, and I'd say that this is his first big win. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, he beat Regal or whatever the case is, but Regal's not pushed or anything, so even though he's a big name and the guy's been around forever, you know, I think this is the first current guy that they've been pushing and everything like that at times. You know, he won that match. Dolph sells like a fucking animal, so I don't know if that's just a blueprint for them jobbing him to everyone they want to put over to make him look awesome or what it is, but I mean, Dolph's definitely a star. I just hope that, you know, through the course of him bumping like a fucking animal to everybody, he doesn't wind up, you know, hurting his future, you know, abilities and shit in the ring, because, I mean, he's going to be in there tearing it up for years, and if he's just taking murder, death, kill finishes and shit all over the place, and it's not like Brodus hit him with no serious shit like that. I'm just saying, like, you know, going back, WrestleMania, I think it was, where he took that fucking monkey flip into a front bump. I mean, shit like that, it's like you're putting out a lot of effort for minimal moves. I mean, he takes these, you know, the headbutts to the chest off of Brodus and just takes it like death. Like, shit ends up looking like a Bradshaw clothesline and shit. Like, he just eats that shit and takes, like, as much of a backflip as he can to whatever impact. And, you know, I give him tons of credit for it, but I just hope it doesn't hurt him in the long run, you know, or makes a future push look weak as fuck because he's already died to everyone in the WWE. But, yeah, I mean, again, million points of credit to Dolph and what he's been doing out there. Obviously, he's been doing what he's told. And, yeah, I like the whole Brodus scene. And chicks he got with him to fucking move, man. That's some serious shit right there. I like that. But the Hornswoggle, get the fuck out of here with that shit. It's all retarded. But then they had Big Show versus Cody Rhodes in tables match. And I don't know why, but the Big Show's gear looked like bleach stains and shit. Like, it looked crazy fucking bleach stain. I don't know if that was on purpose or what the fuck it was supposed to be, but maybe the fully paid for, you know, feed that I was watching wasn't as clear. Maybe. I don't know. But it looked like his shit was just like someone just poured bleach in with the socks and shit and had his gear in there, and you know, it looked fucked up. He ended up, it was a tables match. He ended up just stepping on a table by accident and losing that way. And then he, you know, he attacked Cody after the match and chokeslammed him through a table. Then he picked him up again and gorilla pressed him. You know, gorilla press over the top rope to the outside through a table. That was a cool little spot, but no one cares about the fucking Big Show. Honestly, I cannot imagine there's a lot of people, you know, buying the knit hats and fucking hanging out and just can't wait for the Big Show to show up. And by the way, too, I'm kind of a little bit sidetracked because I'm watching my Heat against the Knicks, and it's a tie ball game right now, and I just can't imagine how they can pull off this series. There's no way in hell the Knicks are pulling off the series against the Heat. See, fucking Stottlemyre's half retarded. He's throwing punches at fucking glass and shit after the last game. He's all butthurt from getting beat and shit, and then he punched some kind of glass and metal case and shit and cut his hand open and apparently like cut some muscle and shit, so he had surgery. Now he's sitting his dumb ass on the sideline and watching the fucking Heat. You know, we'll end up beating them tonight, and then, you know, it'll be 3-0. You know, nothing to his credit if he sat down off of that shit, because, you know, no one asked you to go fucking taking yourself out of the next game after a loss, but I guess shit happens. Tempers flare and teams lose in the fucking playoffs. Shit happens. So, now I guess they could focus on next year who's going to be the best team in New York now that the Nets are the fuck out of Jersey. And, you know, Jersey didn't give them a send-off or nothing. They just kind of like, yeah, all right. Yeah. From what I heard from other Nets fans that were on the computer bugging out, wasn't really a big send-off. Yeah, I'm yawning. Whatever. Wasn't really a big send-off. More or less like, yeah, whatever. And Chris Christie's fat ass, he's like, oh, fuck them. they want to leave, let them leave. We don't need that shit. Fuck them. He didn't seem too fucking thrilled about it. He kind of no-sold that old shit. But, hey, it's whatever. I don't give a fuck. I'm a Heat fan, so. We about to advance after another 2 here. Garbage. So, anyway. Next up was Daniel Bryan cut a promo in the back. It was pretty fucking tight. You know, went in on Matt Stryker talking about, you know, it's teachers like you that it's why, you know, the dropout rate is so high and this and that. Like, just really went in on them on that and, like, trashed the fans and everything else. And they can't fucking get him over as a heel. Like, he's super over as a face. Like, he could be like, I hate every one of you motherfuckers. And they'd just be like, yes, yes. Like, it's funny because he was doing that promo and trying to come off as big a dick as he could. It's just heel shit up and down. And fucking you hear in the background, yes, yes, yes. And they go back to the announce table and are like, oh, we heard a whole lot of no, no, no out here. Like, no, you could hear it through the fucking house mics all the way backstage, dude. You cannot bury this guy's fucking face pop no matter what you do, no matter what he does, no matter what anybody does. It's fucking inevitable. It's pretty hilarious to me because the WWE is going to be forced to do something they did not want to do, and that's put Daniel Bryan face. But, you know, it's not like he's, you know, going out there saying, yeah, don't repeat after me, you know. I didn't tell you to repeat my words or nothing like that. And to defy him, they're saying yes. They're just following him no matter what. So it's pretty funny. And then he got what's her fucking face? AJ playing like a little like stalker kind of role, but not even getting involved in matches or anything. Just kind of sitting in the back, just, you know, whatever. That shit doesn't make any goddamn sense. I'm sure she'll end up in some part of a screw job or turning where she's more of a heel character just to be with him or some shit like that. You can see something like that coming. I just don't know in what form. Daniel Bryan, Sheamus matchup. Sheamus comes out with an 18 seconds t-shirt. They more or less gave everybody the match that we should have gotten at WrestleMania. This match, I liked it a lot. It was hard-hitting, went back and forth. Sheamus ended up winning, but it was a match that I think everybody would have respected if it happened at WrestleMania. And I also think that coming off of that, if they put on that match the same way, even if people were behind Daniel Bryan, they wouldn't have buried Sheamus' face roll, and they probably wouldn't have buried Daniel Bryan's heel turn either. Like, I think that whole 18-second move at WrestleMania turned them on to management. And it was just like, fuck Sheamus, fuck this. We're going with Daniel Bryan full force. Like, they weren't about to try to see this guy just get fucking future endeavored after 18 seconds on a WrestleMania match that they were, you know, everybody was looking forward to. And, you know, they put on the match they should have, but I only think it was too late because I think, like I said, they're going to be forced to flip the belt on Sheamus, get him away from Daniel Bryan, do something that takes away from that, because so they stop blaming Sheamus for this shit. And Daniel Bryan, he's either going to have to go face or do something to actually, you know, resembles an actual heel or something. And it's not like he's not trying. I mean, he's saying all the shit that a heel would say. He's doing all, you know, dirty tactics and all of that shit. And still, like, they recognize he's a great wrestler. And I just think they like getting behind him right now. He's going in there. So, I don't know. But I like that match. They had this Ryback and shit, and he came out, and it's funny. Joey over at the Wrestling Soup says that it looks like he's got one of RVD's old singlets and shit on, and I would have to agree with that. And I was joking around saying, you know, and he's still got the R up top, like around the chest and shit. It's like they just took the VD off of some antibiotics or some shit, and he's still doing that. You know, he's this fucking dude is huge. Motherfucker looks far bigger than what Goldberg was. Like, he looks like a fucking animal. I don't know how long they can go with it. I don't know what the, you know, eventually you got to run him into somebody and feud him with, but I don't know who. I don't know how tight this guy's ring work is if he's not just murdering. Or, you know, are they going to bring somebody up from the, you know, FCW or something like that as, okay, yeah, here's your next jobber, and then it ends up being, you know, a big stop to this guy's role. I don't know. I don't know what they do with that. And I don't know that they could actually turn into something successful. Just not sure on that. I like seeing them rip people's heads off and shit. And just because I ain't got shit else to do. Why the fuck not? So, yeah, I don't get what they're doing. And they got, like, the tag teams in the back just, like, fucking staring at the screen, watching them, like, destroy people and shit. And, like, they're commentating on it and all entertained and whatnot, but none of these cats are fighting them. It's just like these local dudes. They're just pulling local dudes. And I'll get back to him in a minute on the SmackDown tip. But, yeah, so there was that. Then there was the Punk vs. Jericho. Fucking awesome match. All sorts of cool spots. At one point, Punk hit the fucking Macho Man elbow drop from the top rope through the announce table. I thought that was a badass spot. I kind of seen it coming when he put him on the table. I was like, oh shit, he's elbow dropping this motherfucker. And sure enough. But yeah, it was a really good match. I liked it a lot. I think it did everything it was supposed to do. And yeah, Punk ended up picking the win up. And it depends. I mean, if you went on just match and not hype and not all the effect added to that and that type of thing, then you would go with that's the match of the night, I would think. But you know, the main event just had something different to it. Semi-main event is supposed to be one of the Nikki Bella, the title, and she had an open challenge. So everybody and their moms thought Karma. So, nobody was fucking excited when Layla came the fuck out. So, I ain't got really nothing against Layla either, but everybody thought Karma was coming out. So, that's not what you expect. Anyway, Layla comes in. She wins the title, new champ. Semi-main event. Kind of falls flat. I can't expect it not to if people are expecting Karma. Especially you hold it to semi-main event. And it's like, oh, here we go. And Layla's music hits. Then Brock Cena. It was cool because what they did is they kind of worked like a worked UFC fight type shit. Kind of similar to Japanese Strong Style, but it still kind of had a different feel to it. It was like, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds, and Brock busted him open. Now, at first, I really couldn't call this one because the first thing I saw was like, it looked like he hit him, and then it looked like Cena was blading his ass off because he seen his hand going back and forth around his head. But then when you seen where it was at, it was busted open more on the top of his head. I ain't never really seen someone blade, like, through their hair and shit. So, I mean, I guess he could have or whatever, but that kind of lasted through the match, and I didn't see a lot more activity like that. So, it's open for the most part. I mean, later in the match, I think Brock definitely played it because, you know, it was like classic shit like that. Oh, he got hit. Yeah, that's what he got hit with the chain. And then, oh, you know, he's automatically bleeding. So I don't believe that shit at all. But the way, like, where it looked like the blood was coming from with Cena, it looked like it could have been legit. I don't know, but it came off as a real well-worked, like, Brock is beating the shit out of him. And Brock was, you know, doing that work UFC style, you still got to make a lot of contact in order to make it believable. And Brock was doing that shit. He was manhandling him, and he was hitting him and, you know, throwing him around and you know, putting them submissions on real hard. And you could tell he was working stiff. And Cena, he looked lost in a lot of that shit. But, you know, they were both bloody and shit towards the end of the match. And Cena ended up winning with the attitude adjustment joint on the steps. So, and they after the match, and, you know, the way that it all came off leading into Raw, I really think that Cena thought his arm was fucked. Because he held that one arm to his side. And, I mean, you heard some stuff of him saying, like, oh, you know, I hope it's not torn, or I hope it's not this and that. And, you know, he made kind of like a, that's funny. I'll tell you about what I'm laughing about in a minute. Oh God. So, maybe I'll take him up on that, but it's not going to happen. So, anyway, but then, because he started giving, like, this not, like, really retirement, but, like, I got to go home for a while type shit. Like, yeah, I'm about to be out for a while. And, oh, shit. That was some crazy shit. Yo, J.R. Smith is dunking all over the place today. He's going to be sad as hell when he go home with a loss. Fuck that motherfucker. Oh, shit. He's got some nasty dunks today, though. But, But, yeah, he started, yeah, you know, I'd rather go out like this than any other way, fighting and this and that. And you really got to give John Cena a lot of credit for, you know, the heart he put out there. That dunk was nasty. Yeah, everybody was giving Cena credit. The biggest Cena haters were like, all right, well, you got that one then. All right, that's it. I'll give you that. And, you know, he's like, you know, and everybody's taking guesses. How long is he going to be out? How long is he going to be out? How long is he going to be out? Comes the Raw the next day. So, apparently they figured out the injury wasn't as bad as they thought it was. And I think Cena kind of went on the fly on that, thinking, yeah, this shit is definitely banged up, and was going to sit back. All right. So, that's that. I thought it was a great pay-per-view. Honestly, better than WrestleMania. I think if half of those matches went down on WrestleMania the way that went down, I think we'd have a lot more to talk about at WrestleMania being one of the best WrestleManias and shit like that. So what I'm laughing about is Hellaware Assassin posted earlier, Cotto is going to kick Floyd's ass. So I said, no chance. So then he just responded to me and said, if Cotto wins, I want to be on Jay's talk show, share some stories about the things I did with Phil Alfonso, Rob Van Dam, Sonny, Jason Knight, Balls Mahoney, Nicole Bass, and plenty more. So I'll take Mr. Hellaware up on that. If Cotto wins, I'll have him on the show. Not next week, because I got plans next week. Might as well just drop it here, but Ruckus will be on next week. Talk to him. I'm finally going to get the interview that I've been wanting to do forever with dude. He's one of the closest dudes I am to as far as being a fan and talking to people and shit and wrestling. Like, since I started going to CZW in 2001, I've been on some, you know, talking to this dude, and he's one of the coolest cats I ever met. And it's crazy that I've gone almost 2 years doing this show and still haven't had Ruckus on, but yeah, I promise you, I'm going to get him on, and it's going to be quite an interview. I expect a long one on that, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. I got so much to talk to dude about, so should be a good one. But, yes, and then after that, of course, you know, when Floyd loses, then we'll work on that other thing there. But that's speculation. So, let me backtrack a little bit and go to the SmackDown, and it's crazy. It's just like the worst preparation ever. Just I only have so many hours in my week, so, you know, I get together what I can. But SmackDown, and this is last Friday's, Tuesday's, whatever the fuck you want to talk about. And I didn't watch the whole thing, but I figure I got to mention it because of some of the things that happened during it. They started out with Ezekiel Jackson and shit. And this motherfucker's starting to look like a young but getting old Ron Simmons. Like, I had to, like, double-take because he looks like a young but getting older Ron Simmons with the hairline and shit. And I was like, I thought it was him on fucking Fast Forward and shit. And then I backtracked and was like, whoa, oh, shit. And, yeah, Teddy in a maid outfit and all of this. Nah, I don't know what the fuck is going on. And then, then they had Darren Young and Titus O'Neil, who, to me, they're up against Yoshitatsu and Ezekiel Jackson. To me, man, Darren Young and Titus O'Neil have come a long way since the NXT. I think those cats actually look like decent workers at this point. They were believable in the ring. That's something I never thought in the NXT. I only thought there was just a few guys that stood out, and the rest was just like, oh, God, these guys are just going to get fucking contracts for years, even though they don't deserve shit. And we'll keep them around because they put them on TV as the NXT, as the next coming, as the, you know, whatever the fuck. So, but they actually look like they could possibly work and, you know, hopefully turn some shit into it in the future. They end up winning with a, you know, pretty good match. So, yeah, then they had Antonio Cesaro or fucking, you know, Claudio Castagnoli up against Tyson Kidd. He pretty much just destroyed Tyson Kidd, who I didn't know still worked there. And, yeah, good showing. I mean, Claudio, at least. I mean, Kidd just, you know, did the job or whatever, but it's good to see Claudio on TV working and shit. So, nice. Then, speaking of jobbing, former guest on the show, Justin Maine. I forget what the fuck he went on the WWE as. But he was the guy getting killed by Ryback that week because he was the local guy over there in, you know, Chicago area. And, you know, I think that's where they were, Detroit or Chicago. He's from Detroit. But, yeah, so that's, you know, they did that thing, and it was cool, you know, because he got on the mic, he talked some shit about he's going to put a stop to the streak and everything else, and then, you know, Ryback came out and ripped his fucking head off. But it was cool to see the dude on there, you know, a guy I had on the show was able to, you know, do the job on SmackDown, and, you know, he was super cool when he was on the show. Great interview, had a lot of fun talking to him. And, yeah, I mean, it's good to see him at least getting, you know, to shine to at least, you know, just get on a TV match, even if it's for, you know, squash. It is what it is, and, you know, so big props to Justin Maine out there, you know, doing a SmackDown thing for, you know, one shot out there at least. And, you know, I'm sure he could get some contacts from doing some, you know, tryout type work like that, and, yeah, big shout out to him. So, yeah, that was that. What else happened? Oh, another complete random thing. Junior Seau, man. Rest in peace to Junior Seau. One of the best defensive players in the league, in the history of the league, in my opinion. And they found him dead, gunshot wound to the chest. And I think they're speculating suicide on this or whatever. But I believe he was in his 40s, something like that. Crazy, man. And, you know, not to be a dick or anything, but, I mean, when you think of, you know, some of the baddest defensive men to play the game within that era, and you looked at, you know, Junior Seau and Reggie White, Derek Thomas, I wouldn't think not one of them would be gone before Lawrence Taylor with everything he's been doing throughout the fucking years. I mean, LT's still fucking walking around banging underage fucking prostitutes on coke and shit, and, you know, we lost guys like Derek and Reggie White and, you know, Junior Seau, man. It's too soon, and these guys, tremendous talents and always just class acts in the league, for real. So, yeah, rest in peace to that dude. Now, I'm not saying Lawrence Taylor needs to die. I'm just saying, like, out of all those people you would expect. I mean, there was definitely a good stretch of time where Lawrence Taylor's, his name alone was a joke, like, running joke with any type of coke reference or whatever kind of thing. So, I'm just saying, it just not expected at all. It wasn't something I expected to hear, you know, and you know, I'm sure all San Diego Charger fans out there are really, really mourning that dude, because he, man, he held that defense down for years. And, you know, I heard a little interview type thing, little, you know, comments that Coach Jim Harbaugh made over there. And he actually played his last year, I think it was, for the Chargers. And he said he was such a good teammate, and he was such a good guy to have in the locker room and just team leader, that he just, it was right towards the end of the season, and he felt so inspired by this dude, even though, you know, he was about to close out his career being a quarterback and everything. He just stood up, took off his jersey, went over there and traded jerseys with Seau, and he said that was the only time in his career he ever did that. And, it just shows what a class player that dude is, and it's a shame. I mean, who knows what these people are going through. You know, if it was a suicide, I don't know. But if it was, I mean, damn. As many people as he touched, damn shame that none of them, you know, were able to keep him, you know, in high spirits. Like I said, you never know what these people go through. You got to reach out and, you know, not to blame anybody else around him or nothing like that, but, you know, help anybody you see out there is in some trouble and ain't going through the right state of mind or something. Try to, you know, help them out, get them on the right track, because you never know someone's going to be gone. So, rest in peace to that dude. Gone far, far too soon. So, let me take a quick break, come back. I got Raw. I got the other Extreme show that wasn't as extreme. And that whole stuff. And much more to talk about. Let's go off of that note and maybe laugh a little bit about Lil Wayne with dude MK on the YouTube. It's funny as shit.
Lil Wayne, there is no rapper on the face of this earth that I would rather punch in the scrotum than you. You are a poser and a sellout and have done everything you can to remain relevant while simultaneously losing yourself to every fad and trend in music and becoming just another piece of bubblegum rap bullshit. Even if you were to return to that hardcore, raw kind of rap style that you once had, no real hip-hop fan would take you seriously. So yes, I am going to take a great deal of pleasure in exposing you for the chump you are in this video. Weezy, you are not currently, nor have you ever been, a blood. Stop claiming you banging. At least back in the day, you made the whole gang-banging gimmick believable, but now you're just embarrassing yourself. I have never in my fucking life met or even heard of a real blood wearing skin-tight zebra print pants. Never. Do you think any real hood anywhere would accept the shit you do? Honestly, with the Lil Wayne we knew 10 years ago accept the shit you do today? Fuck no! You're a fucking clown. Wayne, you are not a freestyle artist. Can you freestyle? Sure, if you put on your thinking cap and sit and think. Think. Dang, I bet you can. But no, most of what you do isn't a freestyle. It is mind-boggling to me how people that consider themselves to be fans of yours can't recognize when you've repeated or recycled some shit you've already said. Just set to a different beat. Not only that, but you are one of the most swagger-jacking-ass motherfuckers I have ever seen. Hell, a couple of times you've lifted entire verses from other people. Word for word, you've lifted entire verses. How is no one fucking researching? If you don't believe me, research it. Look up, I think it's been like 3 times just this year he's been sued over this shit. And no one's talking about it. They want to sweep it on the rug. So I research shit. I think it's like Bedrock. Look up Bedrock. Pussy Money Weed. Look this shit up. I'm not lying. He's... Research. Look it up and get your bubble busted. Look that shit up. Dude's being sued like all the fucking time. And Wayne, please explain to me what the fuck it was you were thinking when you glued together that failed third grade science experiment you call Young Money. With the exceptions of Drake and Nicki Minaj when she's not doing that thing, Young Money is just full of overinflated egos and underinflated talent. Half the people in there don't even do shit, and the ones that do fucking suck hot ass. That shit Lil Twist dropped, but she wanted that Love Rest song? You fucking kidding me? Shit was terrible! And I swear, if he don't cut off that damn mohawk, I'ma show up at his doorstep with a sawed-off shotgun and blow it off his fucking head. Whew, alright, you kids wanna hear the story of Wayne's music? Alright, settle down. Shut the fuck up. Wayne, once again, you are not now, nor have you ever been, the best rapper alive. You just kept saying it over and over again until enough people believed you. But you didn't really earn that title, did you? You never won throngs of awards. Matter of fact, on several occasions, you lost to Kanye West. I remember on one occasion specifically, not what year it was or what award show it was, but you lost to Kanye West the award for best lyricist, and for whatever reason, you were possessed to get on stage and stand behind him as he accepted the award. Almost as if to add insult to your own injury.
But did that stop you from saying it?
No! You pushed forward in the most asinine attempt to force yourself down hip-hop's throat until your songs were so recycled and repeated that no one could distinguish one from the other or from when or where it came. But that wasn't good enough for you either, was it, Wayne? You had to keep at it until you had been featured on nearly everyone's song and had gotten to a point where you couldn't turn on the fucking radio without hearing your little nasally rat voice. It was literally like you were saying, if you wanted to listen to rap, you're gonna listen to me or no one else. So you oversaturated the music world for months on end until finally everyone grew tired of you and your sales waned. I just realized how ironic that word is in this story. Anyway, so your sales declined, so you did what everyone else was doing at the time. You took a page out of Payne's book and auto-tuned the shit out of yourself. And just like that, you were on top again, so you did it again and again and again until that got old too. Then one day you woke up and said, hey, I know what I'm gonna do. I'll be a rock star. That's totally original. No one's ever mixed rap and rock before. Yeah, I'll be back on top again. And then you gave birth to your most pathetic album ever. Not even reaching golden sales. Fail. So then you try to go back to your raw, gritty, lyrically driven style, and I gotta admit, even I was excited to hear it. I wanted to see you go back to what you used to be. To see you dance with the girl you brought to the ball. But no, again, you failed. Skating by on over-manufactured beats and simple hooks with little or no substance to be found throughout. But again, you say, hey, wait, I'm Wayne. I am not to be defeated. Remember the Carter, the album that made me a hip-hop heavyweight in the first place? How about I make a fourth one? Yeah, you'll see. And then it dropped, and even your newer fans, the ones that aren't familiar with your better works, the ones that think your shit albums are actually good, said, Wayne, this kind of crap. You see, Wayne, your problem is, in your attempts to keep people looking in your directions, you change yourself to a point where your real fans couldn't recognize or appreciate what you've become. And you were left with, and unfortunately gained, hordes of idiots that, yes, did follow you for a good amount of time, but ultimately lost interest in you and left because you failed to be the new hot thing constantly. And you were replaced, and now your proteges outshine you. And you cling to what little influence you have left. And though you still may have money and fame, you are but a shell of what we remember of you. And for that we say, fuck you, Wayne. It's time for the Martian to phone home. Now you want to hear something really fucking crazy? It came out that Lil Wayne's going to release a part 2 to I Am Not a Human Being and Rebirth. Now I can understand I Am Not a Human Being getting a sequel, but Rebirth? Really? Lil Wayne, you must have more cocaine than brain at this point.
Yeah, so that's the dude, MK, you know, he's on YouTube, check him out. Just type in MK Loves. And then there's a whole bunch of them. I'm going to play a couple of them in upcoming weeks and shit. He's funny as fuck. But, yeah. So there's that. So what else we got? Oh, Raw. Raw happened. Yeah, they did that again on Monday. Should I get to that? Yeah, I'll get to that. So they started out with the whole Brock Laurinaitis segment, and then they bring out Triple H. And, you know, Brock attacks Triple H and quote-unquote breaks his arm, and they're like, oh, he's broke another arm, oh, he broke an arm, and all the locker room faces run in to save and all of that stuff. This is really just seems like another classic example of Triple H needing to be in the spotlight. He did the shit with Punk. He did the shit with everybody that had too big of a push or was getting huge pop, huge fucking reaction. He's got to be part of it. So right there, he's in it. And from what I hear, they're definitely going to be building up probably a SummerSlam, Triple H, and Brock. So, I mean, honestly, and it's funny because to me, just to segue from this to something else and back to where I was, but it's the same thing that annoys me about DJ Hyde without DJ Hyde being fucking Triple H. It's like every time somebody gets a buzz, next thing you know, who's they fighting? DJ. Sammy's on fire. Who's he fighting? DJ. Fucking Mia Yim went in there and tore it up with fucking Greg. And next thing you know, they cut a promo like where Mia is saying like, "Yo, you want it? Yeah." Like they're teasing that shit's gonna happen. And then fucking Matt Tremont, biggest new upcoming name and shit. Who's gonna fight him? DJ. Yeah, I mean, like, just random, like, oh, bringing Steve Corino to fight DJ. Like, I mean, I've never been a Steve Corino fan other than his Homicide matches, but because those were shit. But other than that, he just, dude has always bored me, but just randomly bringing Steve Corino, yeah, to fight DJ. Oh, yeah, they're going to go to Indiana, and BJ Whitmer's going to fight DJ. And I mean, they kind of did something with DJ and BJ. That's rough to say. Actually came off quicker than I thought. Like last year or whatever, but you got to really think hard to remember it because that shit wasn't even, no one even cared. And now it's the same shit over and over and over and over. Everybody's going to fight DJ. It's the same shit. It's like you cannot stand to see someone on fire and not be like, oh, I'm going to wrestle them. It's just like his own personal fantasy booking, too. In my opinion, for DJ, I think it's to build his own reputation. So at the end of the day, at the end of his career, he'd go, I wrestled this, I wrestled that. Remember when that dude was on fire? I wrestled him. You know what I mean? Like that type of shit. Oh, he laid down for me that night. Yep. And then that type of thing. And Triple H is just, it's not the same reasoning. I think Triple H is a guy who just does not want to let it go. Even though he has all the power in the world and is going to book all sorts of shit from the back. And, you know, is probably going to end up the majority of what runs the WWE for years and years to come. As long as he can fucking, you know, put on his spandex drawers and come out there and fucking spit water in the air, he's going to do that shit. And he's going to make sure he's involved in the hottest storylines. Not to put a younger guy over to make someone else look better. Just to be fucking the name up against the other name that's getting all the fucking pop. And I just think it's cheap as fuck. And, you know, I mean, to just continually do that over and over and over and over, it's just not cool to me. It gets on my motherfucking nerves. So, not that it's going to stop because I don't like it, but I'm just saying. Just got to take notice. Alright, so then they doing that fucking beat the clock thing. Fucking worthless beat the clock thing. So, Miz and Santino go to 4:18, and I think Miz wins that at 4:18. So he's got the time now, and then Layla wins and retains against like both Bellas in a fucking three-way or some shit like that, and just pretty much squashes the Bella, and then they're pretty much out of there, and then that whole thing. You know, I still don't get it. I don't know what they're waiting for with Karma. I don't know if she's just not able to return, but, like, she was making Twitter comments and all that shit leading up to the Extreme Rules pay-per-view saying that she's going to put a beat down on some Bellas and all this other stuff, and everybody was just waiting and waiting. Oh, here we go. Nope, here's Layla. And honestly, like, I don't think Layla's a bad worker, but you don't build up where everybody thinks Karma's going to happen to give you Layla. That's like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't remember what her music was. I heard the music, I'm like, that sounds familiar, but I know damn well it ain't Karma. And then she came the fuck out. I'm like, oh, okay. All right, then. Now what's going to happen? Karma's going to beat her? Like, what are we doing? Nothing. So, that's what they did. She retained against both Bellas, and from all, yeah, everything that I'm hearing is they did not retain their or re-sign a contract or whatever, and that they're gone. So that's crazy. But so yeah, they then they had Jericho and Big Show, and I cannot be entertained by a Big Show match. I don't think it's possible. I mean, I don't know who they could put him in with, but it was just like so much stalling and this and that, and they were outside, and it was like a couple seconds after, like they were trying to count somebody out, and it just, so they ain't beat the fucking clock anyway. Garbage match. Then Funkasaurus came out, the chicks showed they can move again. And then JTG, who, again, I didn't know that he still worked there. He always surprises me. He disappears for like 3-4 months and then just pops up the job to whoever they're pushing and just like job hard and then just goes home. I don't know what he does. I don't know what the fuck that guy does when he goes away for 3 months, but shit, man. He's holding on to that job with a fucking grip of death. Like, he is. Okay, but here's the thing about Brodus, because like I said, I like his shit. I like that, you know, what them chicks are doing out there. I think that's a great entrance. Everything he's doing is entertaining like that. But he needs to work on that finish. He needs to seriously clean up that splash, or what I would recommend, honestly, is get a new finish. Get a new killer finish that looks good and semi-devastating type shit. And it's honestly, it's not too late. Nobody's married to that fucking splash. He was doing that splash from like a standing, like he was trying to hit like a crossbody when he first started doing it, and he was way too sloppy with that shit. So what they ended up doing is turning it where the guy's on the ground, and then he just does the running splash. But he's landing on all sorts of legs and knees and shit before he even comes down with his body. This shit looks horrible. So I would like to see him do some kind of power move finish, because, I mean, at least for now, the majority of the people he's beaten, he could fucking do anything he wants with them, pick them up and spin them any way he wants. You know, he's hitting release suplexes, and then he's hitting some lazy-ass running splash to finish. So, fuck, man, do something. Figure out something that's, you know, even some kind of silly-ass dance move that goes into, like, a fucking clothesline or some fucking anything. Not, maybe not a clothesline. That's kind of overdone. But something. Something. I would say, as big as his fucking legs are, some kind of driver, because he's going to protect the shit out of anybody with a head that's smaller than fucking, you know what I mean, like Kevin Nash, big ass head, or, you know, I think he could definitely protect the shit out of somebody on a driver, so, just size-wise. So do something like that, fuck it. Just what I would like to see. Then Eve did the whole thing in the back. She fired the Bellas or whatever. Like, honestly, Eve looks good, but she can't act for shit. She can't work for shit. I recommend that they bring back the Nitro Girls type thing and then just, like, put her in a cage or some shit or strap her to the entranceway and just let her dance or something. You know what I mean? They're so desperate to pay her because she looks or something. You know what I mean? Like, just do that type of shit, you know? That's what I would say. No mic time. Enough with the mic time. This chick can't talk. She can't fucking act. She just looks fucking awkward. It's retarded. I just really wish they would put a fucking ball gag in her mouth or something. Like, she's not good. She's not good. Then you got Orton Swagger. I didn't think anything was special there. I mean, you got one good match out of Orton in 2 days. I would call it that. I mean, just don't press fuck. Then you had Rosa with Epico and Primo, or maybe it's supposed to go the other way around, but I didn't see it that way. They finally took the belts off of those guys. I don't know how many fucking pay-per-views you can have your tag team titles on a dark match. Then apparently you're not giving a fuck about the champions you put them on. So Truth and Kofi ended up winning. New champs are Truth and Kofi Kingston. Hopefully they'll do something with the tag division now. Like I said, them other dudes. What the fuck? Darren Young and Titus O'Neil don't look too bad. They could pair up a few others and stuff to make things work, but they need to do something with this fucking tag division, and it'd be nice. Then they had Kane versus Kali. Right. So then they had Daniel Bryan versus Jerry Lawler. Really? Fucking Daniel Bryan versus Jerry Lawler. Oh, boy. So Daniel Bryan wins, beats the clock, the whole nine. So we're going to hopefully get CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan at the pay-per-view. Then you got a Cena Johnny Ace promo. Cena's doing the, you know, CM Punk rip on the GM thing and, you know, talking all sorts of shit about him and, you know, bury him and that whole thing. then Johnny Ace and Lord Tensei come beat Cena down and shit. And Laurinaitis says, you know, you're going to have an opponent at the pay-per-view. So obviously they didn't take him off of TV for no time. And then he says, and it's going to be me. So it's going to be John Laurinaitis and John Cena at the pay-per-view. And Laurinaitis actually did a decent job, you know, working him over and making it look like he could actually move around a little bit. And, you know, I don't expect this to be any type of good match, for Christ's sakes, but I would say that's, you know, yeah, it was bound to happen. One way or another, Laurinaitis was going to get there in there with somebody, and I guess that's it with that. So I don't know what they're going to do with this GM thing, how long they could do that for, because obviously the GM just can't, like, fucking attack people left and right. And, you know, but they got Triple H coming back to do whatever role he's coming to do, and I guess they'll work off of that. So that's Raw. You know, anyone who had that, you know, big high off of the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, they shot that down real quick. They didn't want you to get too excited. So, that was that. Man, I gotta get into this Extreme Reunion thing too, but that's just, what else do I want to talk about? Speaking of Extreme Reunion or ECW guys, I had read that, there's going to be some kind of autograph signing that I really don't know when or where it is, because I really don't care. But the only thing that stuck out to me was they got Tommy Dreamer and they got Beulah there as two of the guests. You know, Tommy Dreamer is getting $15 and Beulah's getting $20 for a fucking 8x10 autograph. That is a sad fucking day, man. That, I don't get it. I just... If they needed any more insult to the injury of the Extreme Reunion, then maybe that's one of those things as well. Like, Dreamer's wife / valet who did, you know, a little softcore porn type thing, you know, she's still getting more money for autographs than Tommy Dreamer after all these fucking years. That's amazing. And yeah, maybe you could say, well, she does less appearances or anything like that. But yeah, so what? Fucking that doesn't make any goddamn sense. It's like, Sandman gets less, you know, or Raven gets less money than Kimono Wanalea, or like, what are you doing? I don't understand. Doesn't make any goddamn sense. Hogan's getting, Hogan, I guess, but Hogan's getting $100 and Tommy Dreamer can't even break $20. And the chick he brings with him is getting 20, he's getting 15. Crazy. I guess that's why he's booked on so many indie cards still, because his price can't be too high if he's charging $15 for an autograph and, you know, bringing somebody with him that's making more. That you'd have to remind any, like, young fans, like, who she is, if they even heard of her before, so it's kind of crazy. I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to do this fucking Extreme. Yeah, I guess I got to. But, I guess what I'll do is I'll play this video first, and this is Shane Douglas talking about, you know, the show he just did. They did a big show. They pulled in over 2,000 fans, 2,000 idiots. And, yeah, sorry to anyone I'm cool with who went, but you're fucking idiots. And so, you know, after such a phenomenal draw and all the hype they put in and drew in all the fans they wanted there and more, and do you think there was a celebratory message being put out after this show? Well, let's hear it from Shane Douglas.
I'd like to just start by saying thank you to the fans for this past Saturday night's event and the support they gave us by their outpouring. Without the fans, no wrestling company can succeed or survive. And it's obvious from the turnout this past Saturday night that there's an obvious market for our product. And that was evident in the fact that building was sold out. Several hundred fans were turned away. And in fact, it was the largest crowd to ever witness an event at the Armory. But the bright spots and dark points, fans in the past had supported ECW. We hope that a new generation of fans, our new generation of fans, will give us that same support and second chance that was afforded the original ECW in the past. Some mistakes will be made as we grow, just like in the original ECW, and we're willing to take full responsibility for those. Now, we acknowledge and accept full responsibility for any mistakes that happened surrounding the events this past Saturday night. And we apologize to any fan that left inconvenienced or felt disappointed after the event Saturday night. So effective immediately, we're taking the following steps. The first step is a personal one. I recognize that to lead a company, I have to lead by example. I've had a history of shooting on those people that have far overstayed their welcome in the business. Through my career, I've been called a lot of things, and I've been accused of even more things. But one thing I've never been called is a hypocrite. I say what I believe, and I believe what I say. I'm very passionate about our business. And so effective immediately, in reference to this past Saturday night, I'm taking myself off the active roster and will not step into the ring and wrestle for or perform again for this company as we progress forward. Secondly, we, just like you, were disappointed by some of the behaviors and performances of those in our family. Although we cannot control the actions of somebody once they walk through the curtain, we can and will control how we respond to their behaviors and actions once they return from the ring. Therefore, very soon, we will be announcing a major overhaul of the talent roster for all future events. We will no longer tolerate the toxic environment that forms when some of these guys congregate. It cheats the company. It cheats their opponent. But most importantly, it cheats the fans that's paid their hard-earned money by coming to that building. It will not be tolerated at any future event. Thirdly, the overall production value of the event, from the lights to the sound to the videos, failed to meet our desired standards and expectations. And you can rest assured that those problems have been identified and will be corrected at all future events. To close, like I said earlier, there were several bright spots on Saturday's show, but far too many dark spots, as far as we're concerned. It is our commitment as a company to focus our energies on those bright spots and ensure that those dark spots never occur again. We will work diligently to ensure that our product is one our fans can enjoy and be proud to support. Thank you again. Hang with us. We'll make this thing right as we move forward and continue to provide an extreme product. We apologize for the problems this past Saturday show and promise that all future events will be one you can be proud to support. Thank you.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, like 2,100 people in the building. Building sold out. And when that show was over, you have a lot to apologize for. Now, I haven't heard a lot of that out of too many promoters. And to be honest with you, I don't think you're going to hear too much of that out of too many promoters. They're just going to take it for what it is, and that's it. You know, and a lot of people, I heard a lot of people online going, oh, man, you know, they can't run another show after this. And I laughed at them. I laughed at everybody who said that shit to me because you do not run a show, sell out a building, a pretty big building. I mean, you know, 2,100 fans is nothing to fucking laugh at in the indie wrestling business. And, you know, no, I don't care if the fans fucking completely hated it. You got 2,100 people in the building. Once, you got all their money. Like, there wasn't refunds handed out or anything like that. Yeah, they chanted refund at the end of the night. They didn't get no motherfucking refund. The only thing you might have lost money on is the attempted venture on iPay-per-view that I think they were embarrassed to put out. They could put out all the bullshit, fucking, oh, the lighting wasn't right, this wasn't right. That, I don't buy none of that shit. The fact that the fans were chanting refund and bullshit to close the show out to the point where Shane Douglas is removing himself from the roster, and that's the main event. I don't think that they wanted to put that out on pay-per-view and have more people to apologize for. And, you know, I could be wrong, but it would be a pretty fucking wild coincidence that they just randomly were like, well, the pay-per-view doesn't seem to be working, and, man, that lighting. Damn that lighting. I wish I could apologize to you, too, for Christ's sakes. And, well, yeah. So, I mean, let's talk about money-wise. Hard-earned money, he said. Well, let's talk about a little bit of that. Fuck. $100 front row ticket. $100 front row ticket is what they were selling. And that $100 got you the show that everybody was sad about. And then they were promised commemorative chairs to the for the event, you know, to take home. So the show went on, no chairs. Obviously, they had chairs to sit on. But, you know, I mean, you think about, you know, the Rock Cena chairs that they were selling at fucking Kmart and all of that dumb shit. And, or whatever they were doing online, or I don't even know how they were running it. But, you know, a picture of something on it, a logo, fucking something. No chairs, no chairs, no chairs. Finally, after the show, they, you know, with people asking and everything like that, they ended up just having like a handful of guys sign a bunch of folding chairs. So now you got a metal chair with a bunch of signatures. You don't know what the fuck to do with your house. You know, a bunch of washed up dudes to put in your house. So that's cool. But, so yeah, that, I mean, that was that shit. And, the show started out, from what I heard, pretty decent. Started out with some kind of incarnation of the SATs, Maximos, Fantastics, or Dramatics, or whatever the fuck. The Maximos in fucking masks up against G's and Ruckus, who, you know, could tear that shit up. So the four of them went in there, had the fans chanting ECW, ECW, the whole nine. Had everybody going off, you know what I mean? And that right there, you know, would make people believe that this is what we paid for, this is exactly what, you know, we want, this and that. The Dramatics, SAT, whatever the fuck, they win the match. And then you got Cordova versus Bukadawa. I don't know what the fuck this is. And then they got Luke Hawks, who they had come out, you know, call out Shane Douglas and this and that, and then, you know, people beat him up or whatever the fuck. I don't even know. Here's the other thing, like, I guess I got to preface with this. I should have did this beforehand, but going into the show, everybody had heard Sabu was rushed to the hospital that morning, would not be on the show. Some people said he had a seizure, or he had a stroke. Some people said, you know, drugs. Some people said whatever the fuck. He was in bad shape, serious condition in the hospital. And, you know, you could speculate whatever you want to, but because the night before, Just Incredible was tweeting out fucking pictures of Sabu just passed the fuck out in a chair, all fucked up. You know, it was pretty easy to do the math on why he went to the hospital the next morning. So, and as stupid as that was, the favor was returned later that night. So, there's that. That's your main event, which I never understood because the past couple months, all it's been, the only, like, hype promo, anything that they had doing at all towards this show, other than just saying, hey, it's going to get extreme, and doing that whole Shane Douglas promo, there was really nobody cutting promos other than Luke Hawks cutting promos on Shane Douglas. And Luke Hawks was going to be on the card. That was no secret. And still in the main event was Sabu and Shane Douglas. There was no, like, Shane Douglas cutting promos on Sabu. There was never, it's just nothing that, like, led into it yet. Like I said, Luke Hawks is cutting these fire promos all over the internet. And you're like, all right, where's he at? And he comes out, and they, like, beat his ass and throw him out of there and all of that thing. And then you're like, well, Sabu ain't here. Now, you know, I was thinking in the back of my head, because I don't know. I mean, it, you know, like I said, they worked that up for months, didn't say a word about Sabu. Sabu gets pulled off the same show the same day. I'm like, shit, this could be a work. Like, I hope it is. Fuck, I hope Sabu's all right. And they just decided to bait and switch, and then it's him and Douglas and Luke Hawks on the main event. And, you know, turns them into it. If they've been working on it or something like that, let's see what they do. Nothing like that. Nothing even like that. They put in Scorpio against Shane at the main event, which nothing against Scorpio or anything like that. But, you know, if the result of the match is everybody screaming bullshit and refund and all of that, then you already know what it is. You know, regardless of whose fault it is, I mean, none of the fans were happy. It's not like they were booing one of the guys in the match. They were like, fuck this whole shit. I don't want to. This is some bullshit. So they weren't down with it. So anyway, then they had the BWO versus the FBI. Nobody gives a fuck. They did that. Honestly, like the majority of the show, just no one gives a fuck. Then they had Al Snow and C.W. Anderson. Really? I don't know who really cares. Like, C.W. Anderson? Really? C.W. Anderson gets put over in a match in 2012? Jesus Christ. Axelrod and Balls Mahoney. They both bled all over the place. So it was semi-over because they were bleeding. So they chanted ECW because they were bleeding. And, you know, big nostalgia. Oh, my God. Then you had the whole New Jack segment. They had Angel of the Baldies come out. And then pretty much talk shit or whatever the case is. And New Jack comes out. And they did that whole thing. And more or less, New Jack and them ended up getting into it with G's and Ruckus. So they more or less looked to be, and Mustafa and whatever obviously came out with New Jack. So I guess they're working up something with the Gangsters versus Blackout. So, I mean, that's cool. I guess that could go somewhere. I mean, if New Jack could work a wrestling match, then I could definitely go somewhere, but that's really hard to believe. So, from what I could see, G's and Ruckus were the only fucking high point in the match, or the night. Well, actually, one more, because they got over big and everything like that, so I can't shit on that. In a minute, I guess. And then, Pitbull, Gary Wolf against Raven. Two more guys no one gives a fuck about in 2012. Then, this show sucks chance after that match. Raven didn't even fucking work for the most part. He just walked out. And then Sandman came out, caned Raven's new flock and shit like this. And then him and Gary Wolf drank beers, and, like, they just, complete joke. So then they had Devin Storm versus Jerry Lynn, which, from what I heard, was one of the best matches of the night, and actually got over and had the fans, like, back into it and really, really happy about that shit. And those guys could, you know, I mean, they could work. I mean, Devin Storm used to fucking rule the indies and shit like that, even, you know, during that ECW run. Like, he was doing crazy indie shit working, you know, all over the indies. And Jerry Lynn has always been one of the best wrestlers, you know, on that level, and could work with anybody and make people look great. So he announced, too, that this is his last year of wrestling. So, they did that. And Jerry Lynn ended up winning. And then I think after that match, something happened with Homicide or something, so they're kind of leading up to that, which is definitely not a bad thing. And, what did they do after this? Yes, Scorpio came to the ring with Bill Alfonso because he was supposed to be with Sabu. So, that just complete bullshit. They're screaming, this is bullshit. Shane Douglas goes over. They want a refund, blah, 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 blah. So that's that. Well, during the show also, Justin Credible was told to go home because he was so fucked up that he couldn't work, and he was passing the fuck out in a chair and shit. And then, you know, the Luke Hawks and, you know, others, I guess, posted pictures of him passed out in a chair, just like he took pictures of Sabu passed out in a chair the night before. You know, a little bit of payback and shit. So I guess it is what it is, but there's another embarrassment on the show. Then on top of that, fucking Balls Mahoney leaves the show, falls asleep at the wheel, fucking breaks mad ribs. I think it was like fucking 5 to 8 ribs, some shit like this, and his sternum, and he's in the fucking hospital and shit. So this is what the fuck, you dig all these motherfuckers out of obscurity and out of fucking nobody wants to book them land, and fucking, you know, Balls throwing up on people at fucking PWS shows, and the fucking owner even coming on and saying, yeah, dude was fucked up, it's pretty obvious, and I don't want shit like that on my show. Well, the dude shows up at another show, bleeds all over the place, which, again, I mean, you could take what credence in it you want, because I don't know none of these people personally, but New Jack was just going on and on about the dude having Hep C and shit like this, bled all over the fucking ring with Axel Rotten, and then, you know, fell asleep on the way home and fucking crashed his fucking car, so, and broke all sorts of shit in his body, so it's not a good look. You don't come off this show looking like professionals that just ran a wrestling show, and thank God those guys are back. It's like, shit, thank God none of them died on that fucking day. It seems like one of the most tragic things you could ever want. And, I mean, if these guys have to do all of this just to show up and hang out together after, you know, this big reunion, like, what the fuck, man? It's like, I don't know why the fans still celebrate this shit anymore. There is so many good products out there, and I understand what ECW meant. I loved ECW when ECW was on as ECW, when Paul Heyman was the mind behind it that made all this shit come together, that made it work. And maybe these guys had their demons, but they weren't kicked up to the notch that they are in 2012. That was a long time ago that, you know, that they were in their heyday. I mean, 2002 shit was fucking winding down quite a bit, and that was 10 years ago. Come on, man. Everybody, go out there, give your fucking money to Dragon Gate USA. Give your money to Evolve. Give your money to CZW. Give your money to Ring of Honor. Give your money to all these young companies, PWS, I'm forgetting everything, Gorilla, Pro Wrestling Gorilla out there. I mean, there's so many companies that these guys are busting their ass, and they're young, and they're talented, and not all of them are strung out in the fucking locker room, and fuck, man, let's support that shit, because these guys right now are doing what ECW was doing back then, and they're doing it to the level, if not better, and I would say far better than what ECW was doing back then. And we're just going to keep rehashing and rehashing and rehashing and rehashing the guys that used to do it. It's bullshit. And these guys are going to fucking die, and everybody's going to be mourning, and then they'll run a fucking tribute show, and you're not going to know where the fucking money went, and you guys all show up like fucking sheep and just throw your money in there too. Oh, fucking rest in peace, blank, fill in the fucking blanks, and then God knows where the fucking money goes, because the fucking guys are running these reckless promotions, they're allowing all this shit happen, so that they have to apologize after the shows, and we're just, oh, ECW, I'll never forget you. Like, get the fuck out of here. How many times can you rehash this shit and still have it, you know, worth a goddamn thing? I don't think anymore. I think we're done. I think we're all fucking finished now, no? So now they're going to rehash. They're going to go over the roster and do an overhaul. Oh, are they? So then they're going to book more guys like fucking Blackout and this and that. So now, after almost killing a couple people and making a shitload of money off of fucking ECW marks, now we're going to flip the script and we're going to try to be all the other companies and book fucking the Blackout and you know, the Maximos and those guys, and maybe add more talent, and then just try to make money off of that. Why not give the money to the fucking places where these guys have been shining for years, instead of allowing somebody to try to reinvent and then just fucking suck the money off of the indies? And that's exactly what they're fucking doing. And I have no respect for that shit. You're not going to see me at one of these fucking ECW reunion bullshit shows anymore, ever. I'm not saying anymore, because I wasn't at that one, and I won't be at any one of them. Fuck that. You can pack your 2,000 fans in there, and I won't be one of them. And I think every show that you guys feel like you got beat for your money, blame yourself and nobody else. Because if you can't look at that card, I don't give a fuck if Sabu was on the main event or not. If you can't look at that fucking card and say, this can't be that good, then you're not paying any attention. You're in some kind of time machine and you're not paying any attention to what the fuck goes on today in wrestling. So I don't really know what you're looking forward to. I don't know what you're doing. So I don't know. Let me see who's on hold here. You. Yo. Hello? Hello?
Oh. Sorry, Jay. My bad, dude.
Juan. What's going on, Juan?
Oh, no.
Turn down your background stuff over there. You got, like, promos going on.
What the fuck, man? I'm trying to hit mute. It won't mute.
I know, right?
Yeah, sorry about that.
This guy's on my line listening to my show with some other shit far louder than my shit on. Oh, man. However I get listens, I don't even know.
My bad, dude. This shit echoes because it's not in here yet.
Okay.
No.
What's up?
I was listening to you about the whole ECW. You know, I was done with that shit when it went under. I'm sorry.
Hell yeah.
When that shit went under, that was it. I was like, all right, there's something else out there.
So, yeah, I mean, you're not looking forward to another Full-Blooded Italians and Blue World Order match?
Nope. I won't be looking forward to that bullshit anyway. Shit died. It was fun when I was a kid. It was fun when they came to Trenton, and that was it.
Well, I mean, how old were you when this shit was actually popping off?
Holy shit. I'm 29 now. Well, I'm 29 in a couple weeks. So, maybe 97? 97. Me and my brother went to, like, all the shows when it came to Trenton and everything.
Yeah. That's a long fucking time ago. This is what I'm saying. Even saying, hey, you know, well, you know, 2002, the names were still relevant. The names were still kind of bookable and stuff like that, some of them. And then it's like, that was still 10 years ago.
Exactly.
And if you want to talk about the fondest memories of ECW, you got to go past 10 years. So, I don't know.
What was their fondest? What, 2000? That was it?
I don't know. I mean, there was crazy shit, you know, that 99, 97. I mean, they were doing crazy shit back then.
Yeah, when they were hooking up with fucking FMW at the time.
Oh, I mean, they were on fire, but this is when these guys were young and just hungry and shit. And it got to the point where everybody was winding down a little bit. A lot of the other stuff started setting in. You know, the product was jumping on every other, you know, TV station. Before you knew it, the pay-per-views were killing them money-wise. And just,
oh, of course.
Little by little, just dwindled down, and they couldn't do it anymore. Like I said, I mean, I'll still take that, you know, 2001, 2000 product. I shouldn't know that, really, but. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead,
sorry. But, what else? You want to touch on any other stuff I said today?
Well, I missed half of the shit because I remember I just got in.
Oh, well, I talked about the Extreme Rules pay-per-view.
Oh, God. I mean, don't get me wrong. That shit was That was a hell of a main event, dude. They were going in.
Yeah. Brock
Cena. That PG went out the window. When I seen that shit, oh, here we go. Finally.
Oh, it's at least a 13 now.
Yep, now.
At least a PG-13.
Yeah, as soon as that happened, like, yep, this went out the window. PG. That scene of blood, I was like, all right. Chain and a big-ass fucking steps. I was like, all right.
Yeah, it worked, man. That's funny, because, you know, WWE's never been one for extreme, and then when they have an ECW reunion the same weekend, and WWE was a million times more hardcore than maybe take a look at that
up,
shit. Until John Cena bled more than the ECW locker room on that fucking
and
shit.
It's funny as hell that half the guys, I mean, and there's nobody with hepatitis C there.
Yeah, that's a plus to that old wellness policy they got going into WWE.
Man,
little less Hep C.
I mean, come on, that's an outbreak now. That shit's no fucking joke.
That's a health risk unless the other guy in the ring's got it too.
Exactly. I mean, look what happened to what's his name? Neil McGuinness. He hasn't.
Nigel McGuinness, yeah. Well, he's not working. You know, I mean, that was all the rumor and everything like that, and I don't know the guy, but I can't deny it either because I damn sure don't know him. But yeah, I mean, if that's exactly what happened with him, he's fucking stopped working. Now, I mean, what do you want? I mean, it's the right thing. Huh?
He's a commentator at ROH. He went back home.
Yes, that's no problem. Commentate all you want, man. I mean, you know, he's being safe about it at least.
Yeah.
Other guys are just having full blood matches and shit.
Yeah, like, come on, man. Don't get me wrong, that shit's cool. Look at it. Like, with the juice every single fucking time you get in the ring. Like, come on.
Yeah. Did you see Nick Burke on Judge Judy?
Oh, that was hilarious. I was just dying. I was like, no fucking way. I thought you were fucking joking. I looked at it like, nah, is this Nick Burke? Like,
oh, it was Axl Rotten that got into the wreck, not Balls.
Oh, even Axl was tired of.
Same difference. It's honestly, like, I don't really think there's a lot of difference in those two and their sobriety.
I'm fucking junkie, so I don't give a shit.
Yeah, so, but yeah, here's a clip from the Nick Burke Judge Judy thing.
Let me just backtrack a little bit. When I went to go pick her up, she didn't look really much like her pictures. A little fatter than normal in the pictures. I'm just being honest, okay? She wasn't as pretty as the pictures. Just wasn't really my type. But I figured she was...
Mr. Burke, I have to tell you something, sir.
Yeah.
I don't know where you think you are.
Okay.
But I'm going to disabuse you of the fact that you're on television.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
Because you don't want to go... where you're overweight, raise your right hand. Where you may not look like your picture, raise it a little higher. Now you can put it down. I want you to remember, Mr. Burke, where you are.
Yeah.
If you can't, you can leave with good luck. Do you understand? I don't want you to think you're going to be cutesy with me. You're not auditioning for anything, sir.
I understand.
Now we understand each other a little bit better?
Yes, Your Honor.
Perfect. Thank you, Your Honor.
Oh, that was fucking great.
Oh, Nick Burke. Oh,
I forgot that man could talk like 100 miles an hour, dude. Like, holy shit. What the
what?
That man can talk 100 miles an hour. Like, damn, this motherfucker's talking fast as hell. I don't know how she understood the shit. I was like, oh, all right.
I understood him. It's pretty funny. He went in there and he just tried to cut down this chick and start saying she was fatter than her pictures online was and this and that. Like, you ain't going to get no fucking... I mean, he won, but she cut down his judgment severely on that type of shit. This is like, yo, you work at a car dealership. You get that shit fixed over there. So, they hit him with some old... Here's some $500. He wanted like $2,000 or some shit like that.
He still wrestle though. Like I have not seen that man. That was the first time in a long time seeing him on the show.
I guess he does. I guess he dabbles. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, when she asked him, you know, what's your job? He would have been better off saying professional wrestler. Instead, he said car salesman. So and then when it came down to money to fix the cars, he was like, you work somewhere that fixes cars too, right? He's like, yeah. Like, yeah, okay, you ain't getting all that money. So, kind of fucked up on that. He could have kayfabed the wrestling term. He could have kayfabed the car dealership joint.
Dude, I was waiting for him to cut a promo or something, man.
It was funny shit, though. It was hilarious.
Oh, man. That was great. That was good to see him for a while. Shit.
Yeah. But, yeah, anything else you got, man?
Dude, I think PWS deserves a fucking TV show, man.
PWS?
Yeah, man, they really need a fucking TV spot or something like that. Like, seriously.
I mean, they got enough fucking talent. That's for damn sure. And a lot of the names on TV.
I read their show, I think, what was it? Two?
What?
Warlord and Executioner? Like, holy shit, now this is a show now.
Going
back in time.
Their show they're having tomorrow night, and I'm not going to be able to make it there, but PWS guest commissioner in the house will be Bret the Hitman Hart. Fucking Sammy Callahan versus Jay Lethal, PWS title. You got Matt Hardy versus Colt Cabana, which I'm not sure if it's changed or not, but I know Matt Hardy's court date was supposed to be tomorrow, too, so I don't know if you got that pushed back or not, but we'll see if that happens. Then there's Jerry Lynn versus Marty Jannetty. Dan Moff versus Amazing Red. Young Bucks versus Reality Check. Maria Kanellis and Brittany Savage versus Jillian Hall and Rebby Sky. Adam Cole, Brian XL, Samurai Del Sol, and Zema Ion in a four-way. Mike Dennis and QT Marshall. I don't know who that is.
Probably some new guys.
Yeah, they got an eight-team number one contender tag team gauntlet match hosted by WWE Hall of Famer Rocky Johnson. Like, for no fucking reason, they just got Rocky Johnson in there and shit. It's like,
that
we got all this. And then I got a match hosted by Rocky Johnson. Huh?
Rocky Johnson, that off? Damn, dude.
He's just hosting the match. Like, he's not in the match or anything. You know, he's just like, this match is hosted by Rocky Johnson. And then they got Demolition versus Black Up versus the Fat Pack versus Enhancement Talent versus a couple other teams. They didn't announce, like, four other question mark teams. And then plus they have Becky Bayless, Ox Baker, and the return of Teddy Hart.
Wow. Teddy Hart.
Yeah. And the last interview I heard from his crazy ass, he did an interview and more or less said that it was going to be a three-way between Matt Hardy, Colt Cabana, and himself. And they haven't announced that on the site, but they are listing that Teddy Hart will be there, and that three-way is the same match, except without Teddy Hart. So maybe they're waiting to add him, waiting to see what Matt's doing. I'm not really sure, but, what a fucking lineup. I mean, what do you want?
I mean, think about it. You're seeing if the owner decides to take his ideas with the whole monkey ringing the bell and shit, I'll definitely be there.
That motherfucker's crazy. They ain't got no monkey ringing the bell. He's crazy.
Have an extendable fucking, like, ring post, so
you
do
if you text a certain number, the ring post will raise up, so he'll be doing a dive from a higher joint. If you text a different number, that's some old dumb shit.
If he runs a fucking promotion and actually does that, I'm going to support that shit.
Yeah, I got to clip some stuff from his last interview he did, because he said he's got a cat doing swantons off his bed. And his dog does a better Hogan leg drop than Hogan does, which I don't know how you get a without like some fucking animal abuse. I don't know how you get a dog to do a leg drop. That's just not even a normal movement for a dog or a swanton for a cat. Cats don't like doing all that shit. These motherfuckers are crazy.
Yo, he's tossing his cat in here like,
what? Yeah. Look, you see that twisting swanton? Now you just threw your cat, asshole. The fuck?
Yeah, you see the picture that Sammy's wife put up? I had to jack that shit. It had Randy Orton as young. Randy Orton. They had the cat.
Oh, and the cat, doing the Randy Orton pose. Yeah, I seen that. That's doable.
That
you can catch a cat with his arms up or some shit. You can't catch him doing a swanton. Like, oh, shit, you see the swanton? Like, Teddy Hart lost his goddamn mind.
My dog
long time ago, and now he's just
press.
Being really open with it.
Yeah, my dog does a shooting star press. Rocky? Yeah, shooting star.
Yeah, all right.
He does.
Stop throwing the animals, though. But, I got a few other things to get into. The Briscoes are running a show tomorrow night.
Are they?
Over in Delaware.
Oh, of course, that hometown?
Yeah, somewhere in Delaware at a Firehouse or whatever. Talent list for this shit is ridiculous. They got the Briscoes versus the Blackout of Black G's and Ruckus. They got Kimberly versus Mia Yim. Oh, that Blackout Briscoes is no DQ. The other talent list on there, and I haven't seen the matches lined up for it yet, is Homicide, Eddie Kingston, Jigsaw, Necro Butcher, Delirious, Adam Flash, Ryan McBride, Azrael, and more.
Like, damn.
That's some fucking talent right there. So if you can't make it to North Jersey over there for the the show in Rahway and you're in the Delaware area, check them boys out because they're doing their fucking thing. And down in
Holy shit.
Yeah, down I think in West Virginia, you got IWA East Coast, and they're doing Matt Tremont versus Drake Younger.
What kind of match is it?
I don't know. I'm sure some kind of crazy shit, because they be doing that crazy shit.
They're not going to bring guns, like, in Texas and shit.
Nah.
It was great. We were talking about that shit a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, sometimes you got to tell them, hey, no fucking...
No 357
no guns. No knives and guns. And then Saturday, they got the Cinco de Mayo over in Bloomington, Indiana. Yes.
I won't be there.
In Indiana? You're not going to Indiana on Saturday?
Okay. No Cinco de Mayo for me in Indiana.
Okay. Well, they got Infinity Pros doing their afternoon show, and they'll have Michael Elgin versus Sammy Callahan, Drake Younger versus Jonathan Crane, a bunch of different things there. As well as that, they'll also have fucking the night show will be CZW, and they got Masada versus Michael Elgin, world title on the line,
nice.
World junior heavyweight title on the line, 2 out of 3 falls, Ultraviolent Rules, Sammy Callahan versus Drake Younger, and a barbed wire warm-up match, Danny Havoc versus Ron Mathis, I don't know who that is, but
so
there
is
you go.
A warm-up?
Well, it's a warm-up match because Danny Havoc is going one-on-one with Drew Gulak in an over barbed wire on the 12th.
Really?
So wow. I guess that's a warm-up match for Danny Havoc for the week later where he's fighting Drew Gulak in an over barbed wire match in Philly. You got the CZW Wire champion Dave Crist against Greg Excellent. You got, one-on-one, Jake Crist versus Adam Cole. That shit's going to be off the hook.
Oh, man, and Adam Cole can work, boy.
So can Jake.
I don't even know what to say about that. That's going to be a hell of a match.
You got AR Fox versus Alex Colon in a, should be a good match. Mia Yim versus Kimberly. They've been tearing it up all over the place together. DJ Hyde versus BJ Whitmer for no apparent reason. And then the Runaways will also be in action. So, yeah, I mean, they got a great fucking show out there. I'm sure they're going to tear it up for Indiana. And look forward to seeing how that comes out and see them actually book something for the 12th because I'm kind of getting annoyed by that. I know the 12th, they really need to book something to draw fans because, I mean, yeah, you got no rope barbed wire. Danny Havoc versus Drew Gulak. You know, you got Lucky versus Rory Mondo. And you got Latin Dragon versus Shane Strickland versus Alexander James. That is not a whole fucking shitload of drawings. Sammy Callahan will be in Dragon Gate that night. And North Carolina or some shit.
Got that man Hustle, too. That him is all over the place.
For Evolve or Dragon Gate that night, and Soleil AR Fox. So you got two really big names that are not going to be there. And, I mean, your main draw is Danny Havoc, Drew Gulak, but, I mean, you really got to book some shit there. I hope that they just build it off of whatever goes on this weekend, and hopefully we'll get a big card come by Monday. We should have several more, big matches lined up. Otherwise, I don't know how they expect to draw fans off of that. So,
Yeah, exactly. But honestly, dude, Sammy Callahan's all over the place. You can't knock that man Hustle.
Nah, Sammy's killing it, man. But that's the thing, If you're a CZW fan, you're looking to see that dude, and he's one of the guys that draws you in, and he's not there. Then, you better compensate for it. Don't throw up, no disrespect to those guys, but, Latin Dragon, Shane Strickland, and Alexander James, I don't know if you really expect that to make up for not having Sammy Callahan and AR Fox. That's a bad move.
Is that the guys from England or UK, something like that?
No, I mean, Latin Dragon, he's been around. he worked the aerial assault match before the leading into Best of the Best. He's been around, and he's been doing great, you know, CZW student and everything like that, and he's been tearing it up. Shane Strickland was in that aerial assault match, too. Dude's got a lot of charisma. He's a funny-ass dude, and he's actually a pretty good worker from what I can see. He's a young dude. Alexander James is that Chris Hero-looking motherfucker that comes out with Drew Gulak, and he's like a red-haired Chris Hero without Chris Hero's talent. What?
You know, that's Chris Hero's replacement since he left, went to WWE and everything.
He ain't replaced.
They needed a clone. Shit.
Nah, and then, you know, 13 and Rory Mondo. I don't know what to say about that. That's all right. It could do decent. I it's not a show stealer, so, I mean, we'll see. But, yeah, I'd just like to see some more shit booked there.
Hey, I mean, they're trying to work something out, hopefully. Shit.
Yeah. And it's an iPay-per-view. They're putting it on iPay-per-view for only $5. So,
man, that's a people on a budget pay-per-view. Like, oh, fuck WWF. It's $5. We're ordering that shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good price, and you can draw people with $5, no problem. But, you know, if you don't book a lot of things. Huh?
You can book a lot. You can draw a lot of people with $5.
That's what I mean.
You can't afford that shit no more.
Oh, $5? Come on, man. But, you know, if you, I mean, if they can't draw someone to drive 2 hours to the show, then shit, $5 is, you know, sit home and watch that shit, sure. Yeah, I'm undecided. I would like to go. I would like them to book something worth it. I'm telling you, Danny Havoc versus, I've seen a million over barbed wire matches, and I've seen them done with two people that can fucking tear it up. You know, Nick Gage's and Nick Mondo's, the, you know, Danny Havoc's, and, you know what I mean? Like, all sorts of guys that just, Drake Younger's, and Danny can do it, yeah, for sure. I mean, how Gulak goes through that match is questionable. I mean, it could come out really good, it could come out really awkward, it could come out, but, you know, to just say that's my only reason for going 2 hours, I can't imagine. I can't fucking imagine. So I want to see them book some stronger shit than that. Like, that's fine. That match is fine. I'll look forward to it and all of that, but you got to give me some other reasons to come out. Dude, I'm not beat. So.
And you're a hard-ass fan of the Please, too.
Yeah, but I'm trying to be a little bit more selective these days, man, because I've gone to a bunch of shows, and they put them up there on paper, and it's like, that doesn't look too bad. Hopefully they make something out of it. And you leave, and you're like, motherfucker. And they're like, oh, next show will be great. Oh, thanks. You got two of my show's money for the price of one good show. So I'm not stupid anymore. I'm looking at that shit through a fucking magnifying glass. And if it comes out looking good, I mean, shit, Best of the Best was fire. Yeah, that shit was off the hook. You can see how she checked that shit out on DVD.
I got a question. Remember that first ZZW show they did it here at the South Jersey? What the hell was it? At the Flyer Skate Zone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they ever pull that deathmatch trial off or no?
The what?
That deathmatch trial was supposed to have there?
That was Rory versus Danny Havoc.
So that happened, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Jersey's not bad.
Well, they stayed away from really bleeding. Like, they used pack strips and chairs and shit like that. And they took some good bumps and stuff like that. They did the best they could with what they had. But there wasn't, like, nobody was bleeding up and shit like that. And they might have had a couple, like, scrapes and everything like that. Plus, they had, you know, shirts. So even if they were getting scraped up, at least Rory did, I remember. But even if he was getting all scraped up, like, you know, you weren't going to see a whole lot of blood pouring because they concealed that. They're not allowed to just pour blood in Jersey. There's no way. There's no way around that shit. So.
Yeah. We got no heart pouring.
Honestly, though, I'll tell you what, though. Fucking to defense that, what was it? I think it was, Tremont versus... I forget what that dude's name was, but he looked like a little mini Corporal Robinson and shit, like Corporal Robinson's little brother or something. And he fucking he bled his ass off, actually, in Jersey.
Oh, at
best
so.
Of best, non-tournament. So I don't know, man. I imagine they can get away with a decent
Christy
amount.
Lifted it. Yeah, probably Christy lifted it off. See, you know, fuck this. This is a bullshit band.
The what?
Yeah, probably Chris Christie's fat ass was like, this is a bullshit band. It is lifted.
Maybe he just couldn't get down there fast enough. He's too fat and shit. He's like, fuck, I ain't. Just go ahead, man. I'm going to just have this cheeseburger. Fuck it. You go ahead. Hey, man. Just don't bleed on my food and shit. I'm good.
Fuck. Have DJ Hot have a little negotiation. Give him like 3 fucking pizzas. He'll be straight.
Yeah, there you go. They had some big ass buffet. You'd be like, listen, man. I got the meal. I know it's a lot of food. Dog, I got it all. Just let me do what I got to do. And we'll clean up and we'll be out.
Like, come on. You know how country boys do. We barbecue shit. Try it out.
Yeah, man. So, I don't know. You got anything else? Because I'm a...
No, I do not at the moment.
cool, later. Man. Well, I'm going to bounce you off. Thanks for calling, dude. And
no problem. Anytime, man.
Check up with me next week. I got Ruckus on next week. She's going to be off the chain.
All right, dude.
All right, man.
Hey, have a good night.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was my dude Juan. Sounded like he was talking through a tunnel, but what are you gonna do? Shit doesn't always work. How the fuck does that clip not work? Huh, that's weird. So yeah, I'm gonna take a break and I'll come back and talk about a few other things and close out the show. Alright?
Fuck who did I offend, rappers? Sit back, I'm about to sit back, I'm back, I'm about to begin. Sit back, I'm about to sit back, I'm about to begin. Sit back, I'm about to begin. Sit back, I'm about to begin.
I drive up and down Harlem blocks, ice out watch, knots in my socks, cops think I'm selling rocks, pulling me over to see if I'm drunk, but I'm sober, they wouldn't fuck with me if I drove it over. Listen, Columbo, you mad because your money comes slow, and what you make in a year, I'm making one show, now you wanna frisk me and search my ride, call me all kind of names, try to hurt my pride, you just mad cause I'm a young cat, pockets dumb fat, talking about where the gun at, I've been there and done that, I'm through with that illegal life, I'm staying legit, I love to see cars come cruising by, I'm playing my shit, I walk around with 6 down, without a pistol, my whole clique's wild, I'm rich pal, no more sticks, I'm making hits now, I drink crisp. I'm through breaking laws. I don't sell coke anymore. I do chores. So get that flashlight out of my face to bring me down and make to do whatever it takes. Rolled up some federals, got my phone and my house tapped. Praying that I fall for the mouse trap. I doubt that. Why do I end up in so much shit? I done came way too far to be calling it quits. Jake wanna lock me up, even though I'm legit. They can't stand to see a young brother pockets get thin.
Hey yo, enough's enough. Federize, try to set me up. Crush what I lost into dust. Plus, they want a nigga soul, but they know Big Joey crack and never ride a cat. And he know for sure, death before dishonor. I left the streets alone, since told deceased and almost killed his mama. So I'ma keep doing what I'm doing, pursuing my dreams till there's enough green to start my own union and show these kids how legit it is. Shit is real, I used to steal, but now I own several businesses. So it's your witnesses you claim to have, saying that I'm taking half, distorting in New York and not paying tax. I'm laying back, playing the role, playing the low, but it's the same old Joe, so don't get KO'd. Hey yo, I'm gonna fight for what I never did. I got a heavy bit, why don't they just let a nigga live?
Why do I end up in so much shit? I done came way too far to be calling it quits. Jake wanna lock me up, even though I'm legit. They can't stand to see a young brother pockets get thin. Hey yo, why do I end up in so much shit? I done came way too far to be calling it quits. Jake wanna lock me up, even though I'm legit. They can't stand to see a young brother pockets get thin.
What would you do if a vicious enemy suddenly started coming at you, armed to the teeth and ready to kill you?
All right. Now, this is honestly something I'm tired of. I've had enough of this shit. And for those who don't listen to my show on a regular basis and only show up for the drama shit, this is not what I'm about. There's a lot of different shit that goes on within trying to run a show, especially doing it solo. I would love to see any of y'all try to do this. And this isn't just saying nobody could do it but me or anything like that. But no, honestly, pay for the service. What I pay for costs $100 a month. Invest a couple hours of your time every single week. Come up with the content. Get some sound clips. Get some, you know, stuff to play for breaks. Get some stuff that you find that, you know, might be entertaining to cover. You know, and voice your opinions on things week in and week out. You know, if you want to say that nobody gives a fuck about it, that's fine. I didn't ask you to give a fuck. So there's a lot of different shit that comes out of what I do. None of it benefits me, really. I enjoy doing it, and I'm going to continue to do it. If you don't like it, get the fuck off. I mean, hop off my dick. Don't jump out of nowhere and come up online and be like, yo, no one gives a fuck about your show. Like, whoa, who the fuck are you? So I'm going to preface it with that. But now to touch on this, and the last time I'm fucking touching on this fucking topic, okay? Because to me, it's one guest, one day, one time, and it's not the end of the fucking world. Okay, they are a Fox thing, happen, whatever. Now, I'm not going to use this whole thing as like, yo, from now on out, this AR Fox is a running joke to me. It's not. You know, I said what I said about it. I had my laughs. I did whatever. You know what I mean? Mostly, you know, because other, you know, the other show, Wrestling Soup over there, did, you know, a big job, you know, making funny, you know, fun of this shit and all that. So I thought it was funny. You know, and in light of me getting no-showed and this and that, I felt it was the right thing to do. I had no problem with it. I thought it was a great show. And I had other people agreeing with me and all that and thought it was off the hook. So that's all I need. I don't really need, like, anybody's approval or any of that type of shit. Okay, so, well, I come to find out what actually happened, why I actually got no-showed, and had a lot to do with my first fucking impulse. My first impulse was Brett Lauderdale told the motherfucker not to do the show. Now, that's not all there was to it. I will say the other side of things, because I'm going to keep it real, and I'm not going to go out of my way to bury anybody on this, really. Well, maybe. But the thing is, all right, two people got involved in this that weren't AR Fox. That is Larry Legend and Brett Lauderdale. Both, you know, have contact with AR Fox. Well, Larry, and this is the reason why I don't have a problem in the world with Larry, because Larry had enough respect for me after listening to last week's show to hit me up and say, yo, man, I just want to let you know what happened. This is what happened. Brett, from whatever he heard out of you, which, like I said, leading up to the show, he fucking all of a sudden aggressively IMs me, yo, you ain't going to talk about that shit on there, is you? And I'm like, yo, what? I'm like, dude, first off, I'll do what I want to do. Second off, that's not my goal here. That's not what I'm going for. I made it very clear that that was not what I was going for. And he's like, oh, yeah, right, well, you might want to clear that with Fox if that's what you're going to do, because I don't think he wants to talk about it. And I said, you know, we're good, man. That's not my goal here, which it wasn't. And I'll say that to the day I die, because it wasn't. And I repeated the fucking comment or the question that I was going to ask him in towards that. And if you didn't know about the situation, I asked that question. He said, I don't want to talk about it. I would have moved on, and you still wouldn't have known what the fuck I was talking about. So that's that. Okay, so he took that. He went to Larry, which is beyond me, because he knows AR Fox is number two. So he went to Larry and said, go, you know, tell Fox not to do the show. Jay's going to grill him about the porn shit. So Larry, being cool with Fox, said, dude, Brett said, don't do the shit because he's going to do it. And that was that. Dude didn't come on. So off of that, I respect Larry for being straight up with me. I'd rather he didn't take Brett's word for it and know that I'm a better dude than just fucking throwing people under the bus, because that's not me. And I explained that to Larry, and I think we both understand each other, and I still have a lot of respect for Larry. See, you know, and then when I approach Brett with this shit, maybe I did it in the wrong way, maybe I didn't, but I have a hot head, you know what I mean? This is just the way I carry myself, you know. I'm pretty real to the point, blunt about things, and if people just fucking lie to my face and disrespect me, then I'm going to be pretty aggressive about it. And you know, so that's kind of what I did. And the reason why I don't respect Brett Lauderdale is because the whole time As soon as that show was over, when I got no-showed, I fucking hit him up on a message. I was like, yo, dude, did you talk to Fox? Nah, man, nah. And then 2 days later, still hadn't heard from Fox whatsoever, still didn't hear from nobody. All of a sudden, I get a fucking message from Brett Lauderdale on my Facebook. Oh, hey, man, Fox said he was at a show, this and this and this. Knowing motherfucking well that he already told somebody else to tell Fox not to do my shit. But he's got it because he had a guilty conscience on him right there. So he had to go out of his way to fucking try to clear his name with me because he knew that, yo, I just fucking told somebody not to do the goddamn show. And I'm like, what the fuck? So now I'm thinking like, yo, and so now I was mad, right? So, and I shouldn't have handled that way, but it's whatever. I mean, so I was like, I just want to tell him in any way possible he's a bitch. So I was like, well, I could just shoot him a message and shit, but honestly, I want other people to see that. Like, and that was the reason why I did it like that. Now, I didn't really expect, you know, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers to come swooping in because, you know, whatever color he would like to be or, you know, whatever ring he possessed on the fucking Captain Planet circle. You know, I didn't expect all the other rest of the universe to come swooping in and start talking to me like I'm a piece of shit, like I can't handle myself. So that's what happened. I put, you know, you're a bitch, and I'll let you know to your face when I see you again. You know what I mean? And that's just how I felt. And again, I said it because I was mad, but by all means, like, I'll repeat it if it needs be. I'd like to leave it alone. Honestly, I don't respect the dude. I ain't got shit to say to him. And that's that. But I got to address it because this was part of the show. And, it, you know, it left me with fucking dead air, left me not knowing what the fuck. So when I get down to the root of it, and, oh, this was the dude that needed to make his fucking my business his in order to, quote-unquote, maybe protect somebody. You know what I mean? And then when I called him out on it, so I said that shit. Next thing you know, and I ain't, honestly, I'm not even going to give other dude the motherfucking name recognition. All I know is, like I said, it was real cute when a bunch of other refs came in to fucking, like I said, like the fucking Ninja Turtles and shit. And he, you know, little group of referees come in and say, oh, you're a bitch for saying shit on the internet. Oh, you're a real tough guy and this and that. So went back and forth a couple of times with the motherfucker, right? And I'm just like, and he's acting like he's actually putting me in my place and shit. Like, this dude he's acting like he's putting me in my motherfucking place. So I'm like, finally, I'm like, yo. And again, I ain't giving him his name any motherfucking recognition unless I slip, but not because I'm worried about it or nothing. I dare the motherfucker. But and I ain't fucking M. Bison and shit. I don't run around at fucking wrestling shows looking to fight people. I go to wrestling shows for entertainment. I don't know how many fucking times I've said that. But one thing I'm not is a bitch. And one thing that, you know, it seems every time someone wants to call somebody out as an internet gangster, that's what the fuck they are. Because I ain't fucking talking shit about them. I ain't talking shit about nobody. Someone comes swooping the fuck in from out of nowhere, and they're like, yo, yeah, you're real tough talking to that dude. You're just nothing but an internet thug. Like, dude didn't even know what the fuck I was talking about. He just knew he had to put me in my place. And the thing that I think is funny about that is he mentioned my show without me saying a motherfucking word about my show. So now, whether it be because he's been a referee for all this time and nobody gives a fuck about him, that he feels the need to call me out and he feels the need to fucking, oh, I'm going to put him in his place. I don't like his show. I don't give, nobody cares about his show. Fuck him. Yeah, I've only been doing it for almost 2 years. And yeah, like I said, I pay for it. I don't get anything back. It's something I enjoy doing. And I got a lot of wrestlers that fucking respect me for doing it, whether you like to fucking believe that or not, dude. All right? So that's first off. Second off, you know, then I send the motherfuckers a message. I send them a message that, let me see. And maybe you'll get a hint of what I'm talking about here. Because I said something like, so when did you start your MMA career, bro? This is privately. I said, so when did you start your MMA career, bro? You seem like a far better dude than the 115-pound cat that used to ref CZW. What's up, man? And he didn't respond and this and that. So, you know, I said, you know, like, where you at? You know, where you at, tough guy, or something like that. And then he goes into this tirade about, I just assumed the last time I was 115 pounds was when you were a kitten. I'm 34 years old, son. I don't know who the fuck you're talking to like you're some older dude. first off. And then he's like, oh, well, it's not my fault you took offense to being called out. I'm making a private matter public and stating that it was a private matter. Because my first thing when he started up on the thing was just, mind your business, dude. Like, oh, it's a public forum. Like, yeah, I get it, dude. But what does that shit have to do with you? You know what I mean? And then he starts with the, you know, you rode the short bus in high school, so do me a favor and get the fact that nobody cares about you. There's no Bob. He posted this, like, specifically, which makes me fucking laugh. There's no Bob McGee post about how great a fan you were in Philly. Wait a minute. I didn't know I was going to wrestling shows and I was being judged by a board of fucking professionals. I didn't know I was paying my money every month to be judged and hopefully have an article written about me. Maybe that's some shit that you were trying to accomplish, because I find it fucking amazing that this is now how we're judging wrestling fans. Like, I've been supporting since 2001, CZW-wise, coming to fucking the majority of fucking shows. And you've been a referee for I don't know how many years, because I don't keep track of fucking referees. Sorry, dude. And there's a couple guys that are referees, and I have respect for what they do. I think the best ref on the fucking indies is Bryce Remsburg. He makes the fucking match better by his performance out there. Doesn't look like Kermit the Frog in the ring. These are all good things. You know, and then out of nowhere, I don't even remember this fucking guy existing in my mind. Like, I had no fucking idea this dude even existed, and was like, oh, yeah, that dude. Where the fuck is he coming from with all this anger? And now he's trying to put me in my motherfucking place. So my thing is, you know, if this dude is so badass, and again, I'm not looking to fucking fight people or any of that shit, but for someone to go so far above and beyond to fucking try to put me in my place online and, oh, I'm not threatened by you and blah, 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 I didn't fucking threaten nobody, man. I called somebody a bitch and it wasn't you. So I don't know why you're so married to this fucking idea of putting me in my place. And if you are so married to that fucking idea, you're so fucking, nobody cares about me, but you had to come out. You had to just find a post with me on it. Or maybe, again, you know, your bodyguard and other refs, and that's cute. But let me tell you something, dog, come and see me face-to-face at a wrestling show where nobody else fucking cares about me. By yourself, because I only show up with my girl and maybe another chick. So I don't roll with no crew. I don't do none of that, none of that. You come to me, and you talk shit to me like I'm a piece of shit. You tell me how I rode the short bus. You tell me how I was a kitten when you were repping CZW and all that bullshit. Because then maybe I'll respect you for fucking speaking your mind. If that's how you feel so strongly, then you come speak it to my motherfucking face. And I don't know what's going to happen, because, again, I ain't fucking calling people out to fight at wrestling shows. Why would I fucking drive 2 hours, get a babysitter, leave work early, which I work 6 days a week. I don't know what the fuck you doing. But 6 days a week for the past 11 years, same fucking job. I got 3 kids that I got to get babysitters for, drive 2 fucking hours, and pay for the entrance ticket for me and usually my girl, too. So what am I do all that for to fight a referee? That's not my agenda. But being you came out of your fucking wherever the fuck they keep referees at, you know what I mean? And you really, really had to put me in my place. Well, the point isn't made yet, dog. The only thing I see out of you is you're the same shit that you're trying to put across to me, is an internet thug. Your internet bullying shit. You know what I mean? So you want to come across and you want to try to downgrade me and make me look like I'm not intelligent. Well, you don't listen to anything I say. And, well, maybe you do because you're so mad about my radio show that I never brought up. And, oh, well, Bob McGee hasn't written anything about me yet. I'm sorry, dude. I don't even know what Bob McGee writes. And I'm sure he does a great job. You're obviously on his dick, so he must do great. I hold everything to your standards. So, dude, by all means, just continue doing what you're doing, and it's all good. But either way, like I said, I'm done with this drama. I do this shit because I love it. I fucking enjoy coming on, speaking my opinion on wrestling. People listen to my shit. That's great. I'm flattered. I got wrestlers that come on. They've had countless experience in the business. They thank me for being on. I have a good time. Everything's good. People listen to it. I get compliments. Some people like it. Some people don't like it. What people usually don't do is listen to shit that they don't like. So if you don't, I mean, I would. It's as easy as that. To tell me that nobody in the world cares about what I do is pretty ridiculous. So big shout out to you, dude, but I'm not going to mention your name because you ain't worth shit to me. So that's that. And that's not, you know, me putting somebody in their place because I didn't remember you existed. That's bottom fucking line. And, you know, just to clarify, all of this I'm talking is not about Brett. Like I said, I don't respect Brett for what he did. But other dude that had to jump up is a big, you know, oh, my God, I got you, butter. I got you. Oh, these stripes run together. You know, I don't get it. You know what I mean? I just don't get what your issue is. So I'm waiting for all y'all to put y'all rings together and, like Captain Planet, maybe like Rob Hartog will pop out the top or shit. I'm trying to think of like a big referee figure, you know what I mean? They'll pop out the top. Okay. But I'm done with all that shit. Like I said, people talk shit to me online, and you know how many I've seen them in person talking shit to me? Zero. And it's not because I'm a badass. It's not because no one could fuck with me. It's because all the people who talk internet gangster this and this and this and this, they don't seek me out in person. They seek me out online. And that's the easiest motherfucking thing in the world. But you know what I never did? I never seeked you out in fucking online. So you can't call me on not seeking you out in person because, again, I ain't looking to do it. I ain't got no fucking issue with any of that bullshit. I could go to Wawa up the street and find an asshole and punch him in the face. You know, at least I'll be in a local jail. I got kids, man. Go fuck yourself. I ain't, you know what I mean? But if you want to prove something, fucking go ahead, man. Prove it. Prove it. We'll see what happens. That's all. And it's story. We're all done there. Anyway, lots of fun on the show. And got Ruckus on next week. It's going to be a great interview. I look forward to it. I have a ton of shit to ask Ruckus. He's done so many things over these years of wrestling. And, you know, and it's going to be a great show. You know, so I think I'm pretty much going to close out the show on that. Yeah. Let me see. Why the fuck that shit won't play? Huh. I'll play this one more time. It's for fun's sake. And then I'll play the outro and I'll check you guys next week. All right. Peace.
Let me just backtrack a little bit. When I went to go pick her up, she didn't look really much like her pictures. A little fatter than normal in the pictures. I'm just being honest. Okay, she wasn't as pretty as the pictures. Just wasn't really my type. But I figured she was...
Mr. Burke, I have to tell you something, sir.
Yeah.
I don't know where you think you are.
Okay.
But I'm going to disabuse you of the fact that you're on television.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
Because you don't want to go where you're overweight, raise your right hand. Where you may not look like your picture, raise it a little higher. Now you can put it down. I want you to remember, Mr. Burke, where you are.
Yeah.
If you can't, you can leave with good luck. Do you understand? I don't want you to think you're going to be cutesy with me. You're not auditioning for anything, sir.
I understand.
Now we understand each other a little bit better?
Yes, Your Honor.
Perfect.
Thank you. My house. You know what it is? And if you don't like it, you get the fuck out.
But you go to the back. And you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
We're taking over. We're